Mizmor Dalet. Mizmor Dalet begins, we're in the Mizmor, we'll run through very quickly. Lamat Seach, but again it's Mizmor Dalet, let's review what we said yesterday. Lamat Seach, good morning to Mari.
Mizmor
Gimel, we say, and Yashma Alamita. Yeah. Rigzu Yaltech, right. Kriya Shema Al Hamita, correct. This pasuk, Rigzu Yaltech Atah, is one of the pasukim that we say Al Kriya Shema Al Hamita. In Echnami, it says in the Midrash Chazal, it cites that this is the source that you should say Kriya Shema Al Hamita, right? The source that's the whole sugya to itself, Kriya Shema Al Hamita. So Belinda will get there. Let us review, recap. We learned yesterday Mizmor Dalet. Mizmor Dalet begins Lamatzeach Beneginos Mizmor Lidavet. Three words, Lamatzeach for the conductor, or Lamatzeach is for the musicians or the singers. This is a composition that was composed in honor or for the purpose of the singers. The singers are menatzchim. They fight with one another in a certain degree. They prevail upon another in different portions of the melody of their performance. So Lamatzeach, we like to translate Lamatzeach to refer to the conductor, but that's not what Rashi says. Lamatzeach means that David HaMelech composed this mizmar for the singers, the people, the Levim that stand on the platform in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan in his lifetime, for them to b'neginois with a melody. To those that are minatzeach,
to
strengthen themselves with melodies. Lamatzeach b'neginos. This was composed for those individuals who strengthen themselves, who exert themselves. That was another really, no, that's really what Rashi said. Those who that strengthen themselves with melodies. B'neginos, according to Rashi, are melodies. He conducted this for those people that are exert themselves to sing melodies. Mizmar LeDavid. This Mizmar of David has been composed in their honor. You have to read the pasuk according to Rashi backwards, which is extremely common. Like start with Mizmar LeDavid. This is a psalm that was composed by David. For who? It was composed for Lam Natseach, for the people who exert themselves with b'neginos, with melody, which means the Levim in their performance of either actually singing the peh or playing musical instruments. David composed this mizmar for them, and this mizmar is not, according to Rashi, was not a record of any specific event in his life. In fact, it's the sum total of his total life. And this is a general expression of life. It's a review of his entire life. And what did he say? Bukhari. And here he says, Bukhari, when I call out to you, Hashem,
why did he make it just for the Levim?
Because the Levim have to sing the Beis HaMikdash. That's the halacha. The halacha is the Sheres, B'Shem Echav HaLevim. It says there in the Pod Torah, there's a mitzvah de'orai, so that when the korbanos are offered, the Levim have to sing. So they need a song. So David says, I'll write the song. Leave it to me. I'll write the song. I'll tell you what to sing, what the words are. I'll give you my life experience. I'm the king. I'm entitled to tell you what you should say when you sing to Hashem, when you bring the korbanos. And what did he say? This is what he said, Bikari, when I call out, and obviously this is the collective verb, referring to the entire Klal Yisrael.
What did they do before David came along?
I guess they had other mizmarim. There are other songs. It's like today, you know, there are always new CD, new records coming out in Eichler's. There's always the new, you know, the latest.
Well, David wrote his mizmarim before the Beis HaMikdash was.
Right, but there was Noiva Gilein. There was in the Mishkan they had mizmarim. And there was Shiloh Gilgal for 14 years, and Shiloh for 369 years. That's a long time. They were singing every single day songs, every single day, and now Noiva Gilein, and also going forward for the future. For the future, it's time for an upgrade. It's time for an upgrade of the mizmarim. So what did he say, Bikari? When I call out to you, Hashem, David over here, obviously he's referring to him, he's saying both for the individual And this is just, it's written b'loshon yachid because the entire Knesset Klal Yisrael, we can refer to them as a yachid, b'kari, when I call out to you, aneni, answer me, Elokei tzidki, the God of my righteousness, the God that I Hashem is Hashem. We have a God that is tzedek, batzar, when I am in pain, or when I am confined to limited options, here haftali, you Hashem, in the past, when I found myself in a state of constraint, I found myself limited. You Hashem, here haftali, you have widened, you have opened up, the limit, my limitations.
When I was in a tight spot,
you got me out of it, Choneini.
At times of tsar,
you were kind in the past, here haftali. And therefore, I know what you're capable of. I have experience. And therefore, I now plead to you going forward, Choneini, show me favor, Ushema tefilosi, and going forward, show me favor and listen to my prayers, to my prayer, the Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael, help me out. Then he turns his attention to humanity, to our enemies. And he says to them, this part of his prayer, that part of the human condition, unfortunately, is to always put down people that are successful. Bnei Yish.
By the way, he said also min ha-meitzar karat ya, anani ba-merchav ya.
Similar, right? You're saying very good. That, you're right, there's an overlap. That appears to be very similar, right? That expression is very, very similar to this expression. It has to be really a study to understand what exactly is the difference between min ha-meitzar karosi ka anani va-merchav ka. Over here it says batzar hir chavto li. Okay, it's very, very similar. Correct. Same idea, the same concept. B'nei'ish, so here we learn in Rashi, it means he's coming to go and give Musar to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are called by the term B'nei'ish. It's a very beautiful expression to refer to Klal Yisrael, because Avraham was called an Ish. Hashem is Ish so Ish. Yitzhak was called an Ish. Miho Ish halozeh halech basadelik rasenu. Yaakov is called an Ish. The Yaakov Ish Tom. So Klal Yisrael, you are called B'nei'ish. We once tried to put together a collection of terms referring to Klal Yisrael. There's Yaakov, this week's parasha. Yaakov, Yisrael, there is Ephraim, HaBen Yaakov, Ephraim, there is Bini B'choiri. Okay, it would be a nice thing to do to put together a collection of terms to which Klal Yisrael is referred to. And to that list, only someone like Mark, who knows all the stuff inside out and is falling asleep at the wheel. Mark, you're falling asleep at the wheel. It's no good. Okay.
Well, no,
so
that's why he listens. He knows he won't fall asleep.
Bnei Ish is a term that is over here describing Klal Yisrael. Beautiful term. Ad meh. Until when will this nonsense continue that you seek out my shame? Kivoidi lichlima. You're always attempting to take my honor and drag it in the mud. My honor, what is my honor, lichlima? Your attempt is to put me to shame. You're always looking for chisroinos. You're announcing that I'm a mamzer, I'm not even Jewish, I was nichshol with an eshes ish, and I'm illegitimate because Shaul really is the king, Malchus doesn't belong to me, it's really four to
four. Why does he want to think about this every day?
Why? Because he wants to show that just like David prevailed, then so he's giving examples. He's telling Klal Yisrael, remember what happened to me. I was in the dumps.
I'm not a mamzer.
My malchus is legitimate. I'm a Jew, and I was not nichshol.
Why do you sing this every single day?
Why every single day?
It's not
every single day. This is not something every single day.
Right.
So I mean, doesn't every single day means in the right occasion. That's not clear. Now you're asking a very good point. We learned this not so long ago, and that is, we know this. There are many sugyas about this, and the question is, put it like this: why is it that every morning we say korbanos? We're supposed to, right? Mincha. There's also those now nusach sard. And even in the Ashkenaz Siddur, there are the korbanos. You say the korbanos for mincha. Shacharis, not only do we say korbanos, when the shacharis is over, we say Hayoim Yoim Rishon B'Shabo Shabo Ho Yoimrim HaLevim B'Veis HaMikdash. Okay, different Nuschais would have that line, but every morning we say Shira. There is a Shira for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. And then there's some Degurah, there's a Mesur, there's a Shira that you say on all of the Moadim. Baruch Hinafshi, we say on Rosh Chodesh. And Keili, Keili, Lama, Azavtani, on Purim. And that's, that Purim was, well, that was during Bayis Sheni. There's a Mesur of what the Shira is for every single day. Why don't we say the Shira by Mincha? Why by Mincha do we when Mincha is over, or even, we should say Hayom Yom, we should say the Shira. If davening Mincha is in the place of Korbanos, so just like we say the Korbanos, the Tamishal Ben Harbam, those who do say Korbanos, they say the Ketores, and they say the Korban, how come by Mincha we do not recite Shira?
You should
Shira?
Have paid attention at Shachar.
What?
You should have paid attention at Shachar.
No, but they said it twice.
They said it.
The Pashto says they sang, every time a Korban is offered, Shira was sung. So by Mincha, the Levim sang Shira every single day when they offer the Tomet Shel Ben Ha'arboim. Why then do we not today have any Zecher for the recital, for the Shira that was sung by the Tomet Shel Ben Ha'arboim when we daven Mincha? When we daven Shachris, we actually say the Yoim. And the Korbanos, well, that's in the Siddur. You're supposed to say that every single day. You know, some shuls do it better, some don't do it as good. Mincha, those who do, you could even say privately, it's in the Siddur, even the Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur, the Nusach is all there. Nusach Svard, supposedly they say it, depends on the daven, they say Korbanos before they start Mincha, officially. But why is there no Zecher whatsoever of the recital of Shira by Mincha that corresponds to the Tamid Shalbein Horaboyim? What happened? In the Beis HaMikdash they sang Shira. And there are many answers to this, but one fascinating answer is...
Ain't Shira Gedolah would be Ashrei.
No, Ashrei is not the Shira, just the Psukim. Ashrei, in order to say Chatzik Hadish, you have to say Psukim, but it's not, again, it's true, but that's not connected to the Shira. So one of the answers is that every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, by Tomash Ben Abayim, it was decided on the spot, dynamically, every day, what Shira we should sing. In other words, Shachris was etched in stone. Hayoim Yomishon B'Shamash Bohoyu HaLevim B'Beis Hinnash L'David Mizmar L'Hashem Aritzim Eloi Tevel V'Yoshiva. On Monday, Tuesday, we say, today we say Hashem Molach. Every single day, the Shira was standardized. There was no room for deviation. It's a Mishnah. Mincha, it's like the Haftarah used to be. The Bezdin, the Bezin Shal Koyhanim, or the Bezin Shal Levim, they said, let's read, did anyone here read the New York Times today? What's going on in the world? What's going on in the world today? What happened today in the news? And they would make an analysis of what happened in the world today, and based upon their analysis, this is the appropriate Shira to sing today. It was not set. It was up to the discretion of the people in charge.
The Gemara Rosh Hashanah doesn't say it like that. Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, like, by Rosh Chodesh, for example, in the Skakul HaLevim Bashir, what they said, they would say
Mincha.
the same Shira they would say in the morning, they would also say it for Mincha.
Okay, so this is all part of the discussion.
The only question was if they should say a Shira Chodesh or the regular of the
Okay, morning. So this is there's a lot of information about this. There were three shiras that were said on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Hashanah, there was the shira that accompanied the Tomish of Shachar. There was the shira that accompanied the Musafim. And there's the shira that accompanied the Tomish of Ben Harboyim.
Which was the same as the one
that that's the question. Yeah. Is it the same thing they said in the morning? If it is the same thing they said in the morning, then the question is reinstated, or the question begins, why then today, in the year 2021, why don't we say it? That's part of the question. So there are many answers. Some say it's not necessary to say it sometimes. But one of the ends that really caught my attention, really resonates with me, is in the Tomid Shelbein Horaboyim, the Shira was not set. It was by design that whoever was in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, whether it was the Beis Din, whether it was the Bezin Shal Kohanim, whether it was the Levim, they made a decision to what to sing based upon the current events. Just like we discussed many times, that the Haftorah on Shabbos morning was not standardized until much later.
Right.
And when you come to Shul, just like today, a rabbi traditionally gives a drasha, and the drasha is today, we spent just the idea many times, today, many shuls today, the drasha is just a Dvar Torah. It's a Dvar Torah. You have a very talented Rav, and he says words of inspiration, and he says, he gives you a nice Dvar Torah on the parasha. Some Rabbanim like Lamdis, some like Drush, some words of inspiration. That's not really what the drasha was when it was originally established. It was hafeichba, hafeichba de kulaba. The purpose of the drasha originally was to talk politics, to talk about what's going on in the world, to talk about what's going on in the community, and to look into the parasha. There's a mesorah, hafeichba, hafeichba de kulaba. Events happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about, it's mesavev kol hasibos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about events in this world against the backdrop of the Parashas HaShavua, so that we can study the Parashas HaShavua and learn from the Parasha, extract lessons to properly understand and deal with the issues that are facing us, whether it's in the community, whether it's in the world. And that's what Rabbanim of the previous generations would do. There's something very relevant going on in the world that's on the minds of people. There's something that's happening. This, whatever the big news of the week is, whether it's locally, whether it's in the big picture, and what is a Torah hashkafa regarding this issue? How we know what the goyim say? We know we see what's going on. How do we relate to this event? How do we, when the Titanic sunk? Okay, so how do we, from Jews, relate to the fact that there was the Titanic when 9/11 occurred and the Twin Towers went down? That was against the backdrop of Parashas Nitzavim, Gofris v'Melach Sreifa Kol Arzah Asher Lo Yizareh. All these frightening psukim. These events, the Mesoira, we have a Mesoira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about events in the world which affect us in all different dimensions against the backdrop of a very specific parsha. And that is giving us guidance to focus on this parsha, or even day by day. The events of the day of Sunday happen in the first aliyah. The events of Monday happen in the second aliyah, v'chulu v'chulu. And you have to be a five-star Talmud Chacham with Ruach HaKodesh to be able to look into the parsha, look into Rashi, look into the Mefarshim, and use that as a springboard to derive a Torah hashkafa regarding the events that are unfolding in front of us in the world. Now today, unfortunately, we don't have too many people that have that ability, that have that koyach. Niskadnu hadoros, and it's few and far in between people who have the talent, the Yerushamayim, the Siyata Deshmaya, are well connected, who have in their pocket a red cell phone, a direct communication to Shemayim, to be able to extract the lessons to fulfill hafeichba, hafeichba, the kulaba. So we don't want to cancel the tradition of having a rabbi give a drasha. Maybe once in a while he'll be able to come up with something. So in the meantime, the rabbi, he says a nice Dvar Torah. He'll tell you what's a chayim. He'll tell you a kliyagar. He'll tell you what we learned in the morning koilo. he'll tell you a Dvar Torah on the parasha, because it's a chaval. It's few and far in between those who can actually look into the parasha and tell you with emes what is Hashem's message. What is Hashem? Mo Hashem lokecha derish me'imach. So that is what. So and part of that process was the selection of a particular a chelik of navi that was relevant to the world events. Yeah?
My father, Roshan, used to explain that, especially by Ashkenaz, where he says the Yoimir, after Olenu, he says, you wake up in the morning, you get dressed, you run to shul, you start davening, and then you come to Olenu, Yodata Yoimir, Shibosa Elul, you don't even know what day it is. You have to say, Hayoimir, Shani, Mishabas. That's when you first realize what the
Musa, the Divrei Yom, you first even know what day when you get to the Yom. It's reminding you what day of the week it is, you're saying. Okay, people don't even know what day of the week it is. Yeah, it's pretty scary. But the Haftorah used to be the ultimate drosh of the rabbi. The rabbi didn't need to speak. The rabbi's drosha was his ability to select a section of the prophets that is relevant, number one, to the parasha, and also relevant to world events. That was an incredible talent. That was the drosha. It was already said. Whatever I would possibly say was already said by the prophet. Where? You have a whole body of Nevi'im. Where? Show me where. This is it. This section is what Hashem, is what we're going to read today, because this captures what's going on in the parasha as it relates to us. Obviously, that became very difficult for the average rabbi to do, to pick out a selection that is Al-Pi Ruach HaKodesh, what is relevant. So they standardized it. They standardized it. And you know, very, very, very often, it's really, really amazing how the Haftorah, in the Haftorah, there are mamish world events, what's going on in the news. It jumps, lamish leaps off the page when we read in the Haftorah. So it's become standardized. Now it becomes standardized, so now we needed a little bit more help, because so then the rabbis, they filled in and they gave sermons. Okay, now even that is no longer gone. But on this concept that we've explained was done on a micro level by the Levim every single day at Mincha. When they sang the shiur in the morning, it's standardized. Standardized. There's no room for deviation. Mincha? No. There's a Beis Din, Shel Levim, who's trolled the internet. And they've read all the news. And they know everything that's going on. And they selected, this is the mizmor we're going to sing. There's a big miracle happened today, where they realize this is the miracle, and this mizmor captures the miracle of today. Okay, so now today, we can't do that today. Today, you're not going to be able to go find a mincha. And the rabbi is going to say, you know what we're going to say today for the yom today? This is what, who are you going to say that? Also, it's the whole Klal Yisrael. So therefore, because this technique is impossible, we don't do it. So this is one of the many ideas to explain why we do not have any zeichin, any siddur, to say the yoim by mincha. It's a good question. Why not? Why don't we say the yoim? The yoim, there was a shiur that was sung when they brought the Tamid Shel Bein Harboim. So why don't we do it? Not even in the back of the siddur, in the little teeny letters, are you going to find it. It's because, again, there are many answers, but one of the answers is because it was the what? What are you going to say? What are you going to sing? This is up to the discretion of, you need a Beis Din. You need a Beis Din in order to select what to say. And you don't have a Beis Din, so then you can't, there's nothing to talk about. Okay, so therefore, that answers your question. We are getting sidetracked. So we're reviewing over here. We're reviewing over here, Pasuk Gimel again, page 32. B'nai'ish ad ne kivaydi l'chlima ad l'chlima. Until when are you going to go and put me to shame? Tehehavun rik. You love nonsense. The people of the world have this obsession with wasting their time over nonsense. Right? You go anyone here. I mean, these words are never been more true than in this generation, when you can literally spend your entire day looking at WhatsApp statuses, looking at going on Instagram and going on Twitter and reading people's Facebook posts. Okay, so there's definitely some very important things. Whatever Rabbi Chol posts is gold. But all right, everyone else, I mean, it's like mamish devodin betelim umutalim v'loshridin v'lokayom v'lecholim klal. It is such a waste of time. Unbelievable. Besides all the averis that go along with it. And the world is obsessed with these two words. Tehe havun rik. You're in love with nonsense. You waste your time with total nonsense the whole day and what's out there. And then it gets worse than that. And then there is the mainstream media. Kozov. Okay, Kozov. Tzvakshu Kozov. You seek out Kozov. Outright lies. Sela. And what I'm saying is...
You know, I call MSNBC, right?
MSN.
Shekhar NBC. There is no MS in MSNBC.
They were excluded from the courtroom. because of their unethical conduct. To the actual chazav. Sela. Udu'u pasik dal. Udu'u ki hifla Hashem chasid. No, you should know good and well that Hashem has selected, He has separated, He has selected the pious one. Lo, he's Hashem's team. He's on Hashem's team. Hashem Yishma David HaMelech now pleads to Hashem. Hashem, listen, Bikari Elov, when I call out to Hashem Yishma, listen, Bikari Elov, when I call out to him. It doesn't say Elecha. Okay, the tenses keep on changing back and forth. Why? That's a little bit complex. Let's go further. Then we have the pasuk that we say on, as Rav Kalman mentioned, on Kriya Shema Al Hamita, Rigzu, a person should shake. A person should tremble in when he acknowledges the following thought that Va'al Techetohu, to know that Hashem is the creator. Okay, Va'al Techetohu, and should know that Hashem does not want you to sin. In Ruvel Vavchem, a person should spend his precious moments of free time when he's as Yishuv Hadas. The Al Imuvel Vavchem in your heart, Al Mishkavchem. We learned in the Mitzvah, when you're on your lying on your bed is a moment of time when you are free. No one is bothering you. You're able to reflect the Doimu and be silent. What does it mean to be silent? According to Pshutay Shel Mikra, it means better keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool than open it and remove all doubt. Okay, be silent from uttering lies. It's going back on the word because of the daimu. Don't lie. Don't lie. Hold back from lying because lying is a terrible sin. Sheker is the antithesis of kol ha'Torah kulo. How do you know that? Because Torah is called emes. Torah is titin emes liyakov. Asher nosan lanu toinas emes. Torah is called by the word emes. So a sheker is the antithesis of the Torah. Sheker is aveira. It is the ultimate aveira. It is the sum total, or it represents aveiras. Okay, so a person has to learn how to be silent from aver sela, and that's the second end of the second. Now we're up to the next pasuk. Pasuk Zav. Zifku zifchei tzedek revitku el Hashem. Okay, now if you look over here in the Targum. Targum says zifku zifchei tzedek means, it's very interesting translation. Kivashu yitz rechoin. A person should conquer his evil inclination. Bring a sacrifice. What sacrifice? An animal? What do you over here? This targum over here is an awesome targum. It opens up a world of commentary. What is the purpose of bringing a korban? When the average person, if you'll stop the average person in the street and ask him, why do we bring korbanos? What are they going to say? We bring korban because of korban. I did an avera. I did a terrible sin. So you know what, Hashem? I should really die. I deserve to die because I've rebelled against you. You told me what do I rebel, therefore I deserve. So therefore, I really should, there should really be a human sacrifice. But Hashem doesn't want human sacrifices. So therefore, let me bring this as a replacement. Almost like if kaparos. When a person brings a karma, it's like when you erev Rosh Hashanah, zeh kaparos, zeh tzvaros, zeh halifasi, zeh tarnigol yelech l'nisa. Right, so that's really that's the average person when you look at a carbon, I did not bear. Over here, the Targum doesn't say that. The Targum says that when you bring a sacrifice, what are you slaughtering? You're slaughtering not the Yetzirah. You're not slaughtering the self. I'm not bringing an exchange. There's no such thing as human sacrifice. An animal has no Yetzirah. An animal is kula type. That's a reality. You find that animals do good things. I mean, there are a lot of very fascinating stories about animals. You know, animals are very loyal. Enochinami, there are a lot of things that has to be understood. We don't know, no one ever entered into the mind of an animal to tell us what, how their minds work. Can you imagine from time to time in the world? No one knows. No one knows anything about what goes on in the mind of an animal. It's an incredible thing. Animals don't communicate, they don't tell us. And we only can observe them, and we think that by observing them, we know what's going on in their mind. We know nothing what goes on in their mind. Animal chazal says, no yetzer tov. An animal sees food, he wants the food. Animal knows how to maneuver. Hashem put certain instincts. There's no bechira comparable to the bechira of a human being. Obviously, animals make decisions. No one's coming to deny that. But the level of bechira by an animal is not equivalent to the level of bechira by a human being. So an animal really represents the Yetzer Hara. Every animal represents, according to what the Targum is alluding to, it's a whole new world of interpretation of what a carbon is all about. According to the Targum of here, it says these few words, Zivchu Zivchei Tzedek. What does it mean? Kivashu Yitzrichoyim. Conquer your Yetzer Hara. You look at an animal, you know that animal acts? That acts is the Yetzer Hara. Wow, that's not the way I thought of it. I thought an ox is a, no, it's a nice creature. I'm a creature, it's a creature, we're all the same. We're all the same, everyone is free, everyone is equivalent. So I did an avera, I should die. Guess what? You're gonna die instead of me. Why? Because I control you, okay? Because we're dominant, man is dominant, so we're gonna take you and bring you as a replacement for us. All right, I'm not coming to deny that. If that's what it means that. Kabbalah in the Kabbalah. But the Targum doesn't say that. The Targum has a whole different look, at least in this passage. You see the axe over there? That axe is not a creature. That axe is a representative of the Yetzer Hara. It's evil. Every animal is evil. I obviously have to take this, you know, with a grain of salt, what I'm saying.
The Targum on which passage are we talking?
Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav. Zivchu Zivchei Tzedek. Kivashu Yitzrichoin. Unbelievable. Sacrifice an animal means conquer your Yetzer Hara. The animal is the Yetzer Hara. Take that animal, view it as the evil inclination, kill it. You believe that? Incredible. Kill it. And that should make an impression upon you that just like you've killed that Yetzer Hara, within you, kill it. Wipe it out. Wipe it out. Take no prisoners. Completely obliterate it. Kivashu. Kivashu means to conquer, right? Kivashu. Conquer Yitzrichoin. The Yitzchashav Lechoin Kinichsas Tzedakah. And by doing so, it will be considered like you brought a sacrifice, a gift of righteousness. Zivchu Zivchei Tzedek. Conquer your Yetzer Hara. And by doing so, it's as if you brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a zevach of tzedek, of righteousness. That itself needs a little bit of explanation. But let's go further. Back to the pasuk. Vitchu el Hashem, and put your faith and hope el towards Hashem. There are two terms for faith. There's emunah, and there is bitachon. Okay, this is a big, big topic. What is the difference between the word emunah and the word bitachon? So, I think the Chazonish explains, and others explain differently, or the same, is that emuna is the concept. It's the concept. Bidochoin is practice. You can get a PhD in emuna and be a selfish, be a koifer. You can mamish a PhD. What is emuna? What is faith? Go to Princeton, get a PhD in the philosophy of religion. And the person in his personal life is a koifer bako, an atheist, and all of the words that you can dig up to represent a denier of God's providence. Okay, emuna is the principle. Bitachon means how much of that principle have you put into practice in your own personal life.
I thought it meant like trust or security. Like, do you feel secure?
Bitachon?
Yeah.
So how does that apply? How does that relate to the word emunah? What's the difference?
You feel secure in that Hashem will protect you, let's say.
Hashem will protect you. Okay.
You're not emunah.
Bo Hashemesh, yeah.
They were steadfast.
Emunah means consistency.
Steadfast, yes.
To be consistent.
That's important for the concept of emunah.
Abba Hashem, so you want to say is that bitachon means the moment. Emunah means the consistent application of bitachon. That's a different idea. Bitachon means...
Unwavering.
On this moment, I have bitachon. But tomorrow, no. tomorrow, I'm taking a day off. No, emunah means asher lo yichozvu meimav. There's a consistency in my bitachon. Okay, that's a very beautiful idea. Let's go further. Rabim, so therefore, let's see over here, the Rashi. Rashi, zivchu zivchu tzedek, hatztiku ma'aseichem, your deeds shall be righteous, you shall make your deeds correct. V'hareyatem kimakrivim zivachim. Rashi's interpretation is different. He does not say to conquer. Rashi just says very simply, be a good person. Be a good person, and by being a good person, that is equivalent to offering Hashem sacrifices. Okay, that needs a little more explanation. Let's go further. Go a little over here on the right side. There's a siv says the kedem the zivchis of tzedek perish rashizal hasdik masechem ayin. Okay, just a little bit. Give my mark. Let's go further. Ubitri Hashem. The next verse of Rashi sheyashpia lochem toiva. Hashem will bestow, will shower upon you goodness. The al techet uloi b'shvil mamon she'atem mitzapim lekabel socher me'es shol. Rashi, I told you this yesterday. Rashi over here is coming to inject over here Shohol HaMelech. Rashi first starts out, there appears to be a contradiction to some degree in Rashi, where Rashi starts out by telling us that this Mizmar is a catch-all Mizmar. It's the sum total of David's life. It's just a generic expression of praise, of song, and hope in Hashem. And then here, according to Rashi, he's injecting that he's speaking to a select group of people who are on the team of Shaul, who are pursuing and trying to eliminate David. Shaul was delusional in thinking that David is trying to kill him. He was paranoid. The Shekhinah left him. Shmuel told him, your malchus is over. You've made critical mistakes. Okay, your approval rating by Hashem is below 30%. And that's what the media boosting it. An artificial boost. Right? And within an artificial boost from the media, your approval rating is 36%. So you know what that really means? It's negative 30%. Okay? So your approval rating, Shmuel said to Shaul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ended your career. And Shaul could not accept that. And therefore, the one that was going to take his place, he was paranoid. And he pursued him. He actively tried to kill him. And Shaul had a team. He had a team. So David is telling, and what's in it for them? What's in it for the people who are on Shaul's team? What do they get out of this? Money. That's what Rashi over here says. Rashi over here injects that. It's a shocking thing. Yeah. Money is the root of all evil. It's really a shocking thing. When it comes to obscure the truth, what kiki ashoichad yaver einei chachamim v'itzlef divrei tzadikim. It's amazing that in this country, the conflict of interest. How it's the ultimate crime in this country that people should be permitted to make decisions that affect the lives of people who have massive, massive conflict of interest in money. Money, if someone is getting money for something, like they had this whole massive article about the fact checkers, this massive article, people who are the fact checkers, and who's paying the fact checkers?
The media.
The media, so the media, they're being paid like what? That's a steer, I mean, they obey. Right? No, it's okay. You know, in halacha, if the Gemara says that you go to a dayan, a judge, and the litigant even brushes off some dust off the lapel of your coat, you're disqualified. So if someone's getting hundreds of millions of dollars, don't you think they should be disqualified? If someone has children, I mean, it's unbelievable. And so over here, what did the people who work for Shaul? Shaul couldn't kill David on his own. Shaul had a major team. We have to assume that the people knew already that was going on, that the Navi Shmuel, certainly Shmuel had respect, world renowned respect, and he told people that the Malchus of Shaul has been terminated, and David HaMelech has been anointed as the new king. So why are these people continuing to assist Shaul? What's in it for them? Money! Money! And David over here says this, over here, according to the parish of Rashi, this pasuk that they sing on Simchas Torah in so many kilos, Zivchu Zivchei Tzedek Uvitru El Hashem. If you know what this pasuk means, according to Rashi, it's an incredible pasuk to be singing 1,000 times in Simchas Torah. It means don't take bribes. Isn't that scary? Go to Chaim Berlin, they sing this pasuk literally for an hour straight. Okay? Zivchu Zivchei Tzedek Uvitru El Hashem. Zichu zichu tzedek uvitru el Hashem. Rabbi Mamarim miyareinu ka. Okay, it's a beautiful melody. And what does it mean according to Rashi? Who is who? Mi Omar el mi. Stop the average guy in Chaim Berlin and say to him, come out, sir, I want to talk to you. You just said zichu zichu tzedek about 10,000 times. I want to ask, will they ask you in kindergarten or in third grade? Mi Omar el mi. Okay, the classic question on an exam in high school. Mi Omar el Mi. According to Rashi, David Omar el Anshe Shaul. Shaul's supporters. Why are you continuing the lie? Shaul is no more the Melech. His reign has been terminated by the Navi Shmuel. Why are you ignoring the facts? Why are you participating in Kozov? And what do they say? Money. He's paying us. You're not paying us. He's paying us. How are we going to feed our families? You know, the interview, the very fascinating interview, I don't know if you know, people here follow the news, in Australia. Australia has become more communist than Russia in its heyday. And they interviewed police officers. Okay, and the people who have to implement the policies of the government, extreme behavior, incredible things that are going on there. So the interview, I saw this incredible interview with some of the police, so they take police officers and they interview them. And some of them are very nice people. They say, you know, we don't even want to think about the policies, but we need to feed our families. And there's nothing else we can do with our lives at this point in time. This is my profession. This is one after another. This is our profession. I'm a police officer. And this is my parnasa, a pension, and this and this. What could I do? This is my parnasa. You're going to feed me. I should go and I should go voice my opinion. Regarding politics. And if I don't agree, I should quit my job. I can't afford to do that. I have a wife. I have children. I have a family. I can't afford to do that. You're going to pay me? Who's going to pay me? You're going to give me a parnasa? So the people, this is nothing new. This interview that I saw not so long ago on one of my Telegram channels is something that happened in time of Shaul. They said to the people, the David said to people's Shaul's officers, what are you doing? You don't believe in Shmuel? Shmuel Hanavi? Shmuel Hanavi said that Shaul is no longer the Melech. What are you doing? What kind of nonsense is this? Well, who's going to pay us? Who's going to support us? You, David. You're not going to support us. You don't have a penny to your name. You're on the run. You went to Noiv, Irak, Hanim. You were Bikuach Nefesh. You were starving to death. Bulmus. Yeah, what was called Bulmus. You were starving to death. They had to give you from the Lechem Aponim. You're going to support us? So David says to them something which is very hard to swallow. Bitchu El Hashem. Quit your job. Quit your job and have faith in Hashem. It's a hard pill to swallow for many people. Okay, that's a very hard book to swallow. Zivchu zivchei tzedek hatztiku ma'aseichem. Rashi says, be righteous, do the correct thing. Varei atem, and by doing so, it's as if you're offering a sacrifice to Hashem. Ubitchu al Hashem, don't worry about parnasa. Okay, you have to have a lot of emun for this. Sheyashvi alochem toiva. Hashem will take care of you. He will bestow upon you blessing. The al techetzu loy. Don't sin towards Hashem by persecuting me, by attempting to kill me, to eliminate me. I'm the Mashiach Hashem. I have been anointed by Shmuel with the Shemen HaMishcha. Don't try to kill me. By killing me, you're rebelling against Hashem. Why are you doing this? I need to support my family. B'shvil mamoin she'atem mitzapim, that you are yearning l'kabel sochor me'eis Shaul. Shaul is supporting you. and therefore you're following orders to kill me. Do you believe in this? I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about it. If it's right or wrong, I need the money. Okay, if we were standing in their shoes, what would we do? Okay, who's to judge? Okay, obviously the Musar is extremely stinging, but don't judge a person. Ad sheyamoy b'mekoymoy.
Yeah.
Okay, ad sheyamoy b'mekoymoy. People who do not parnasa, you know what the pain is, the tsar, that the daiga. You just look the other way. Unfortunately, it's a very 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 scary psukim. Pasuk zayin. Rabim oimrim. Many say mi yareinu toiv. Nisa aleinu or ponecha Hashem. Rashi. Rabim oimrim mi yareinu toiv. Rabim yisrael yesh sheroyim. There are many from the Jewish people. Yesh. Sheroyin umos oilam be'oisher uveshalva v'oimrim. They look at the goyim and they say, look, the goyim are successful, they're wealthy, they have success. Mi yareinu toiv. If only who will show us the good way? If only we can be like the goyim and have yishuv hadas, have parnasa, have wealth, have success, can go to the beach, can go do all the different things that they do. Lihiyos ashirim umasigei tava ko'elu, and we should go out to the restaurants and have a good meal and a good life. If only, why should we have to suffer our whole life? Nisah aleinu. Next words. What does the word mean? Nisah means to lift up. Horein aleinu lineis es or ponecha. Lift up upon us. Aleinu lineis as a flag. A neis sometimes means a flag, a banner. Or ponecha. Leshoin harimu neis. Lift up the banner. Arim nisi. I will lift up my banner. Leshoin. Okay, then it goes another leshoin acher. Lift up the banner. Lekabeitz goleus. Nisa aleinu. He has over here an old French word, you know what it means? Kmo avne nezer mis nisesis. Like the, it means glorious. The stones of the crown mis nisesis that are precious.
Twinkling.
Sorry?
Twinkling.
Winkling?
Twinkling.
Twinkling. Twinkling, that's what it means? Twinkling?
That's what it means
in modern Hebrew?
Yeah.
In modern it means twinkles?
Yeah, sure.
Shine, the twinkles. Yeah. Okay, so according to this interpretation, it doesn't mean to lift up, but it means something that is precious, like precious stones. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, may your or ponecha be upon us, may be upon us as a precious stone that twinkles, as Rabbi Meir said. Aval ani einoy mekanei bochem. David says, I'm not impressed with these people. Ki simcha, they go to the next pass. Pass, we'll read again. Pass in the ches. No sata simcha vilibi. I'm not impressed with what the goyim have. You, Hashem, have put into my heart, simcha. Next words. No sata ki simcha nisuna, no sata vilibi. Me eis de gonam visiro sham shalumos olam rabu. Even when they are prosperous, successful, even when they're very happy, it doesn't impress me. The joy that I have is in you, Hashem. Rashi, b'tuach ani, I have faith. Im lemachi sof koch, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu bestows blessing upon those people who are wicked. Le'oise ritzoinoi al achas kama v'chama le'osir lovo shuyon kibol sichora. Don't be impressed with the success of the wicked. Their day will come, and the people who prevail and hold the line, they are honest, and although they have a difficult time in this world, there will be a Yom Hadin, and the reward that will come to them will be infinitely greater than the success and the blessing that you see by the wicked of today. Okay, this is just basically the principle of Tzadik V'raloi Rosha V'toivlo. The theme that reappears throughout Chazal and Tanakh only a million times. The same principle is just said over in many different words. Let's read the words again. We'll do one more time. The whole these words together. Before we go to the next pasuk, Ziftus of Yitzchak Hashem. David Hashem. David over here is telling the people over here, the people that are pursuing him, that you shall do good. You shall, by doing acts of tzedek, It's as if you're bringing to Hashem korbanos. Ubitchol Hashem, and don't do tzedek. Don't engage in corruption. Because, oh, you'll tell me who's going to support you? Have faith. Okay? Rabin Oimrim, now he continues, the people who fall into this trap, why do they fall into the trap? Why do they obey orders? Do they obey orders of the wicked? Rabin Oimrim, many people say, Mi Yarei Nutoy. They look at the world and they see that being a Jew, or being honest, being ethical, doing the right thing, you get nothing out of it in this world. The people that are successful are the liars, the corrupt politicians, the people who, the tyrants, the people who push their way around, they're always the ones that at the end of the day, they are super wealthy, they have their yachts and their private islands and their wealth, and they're secure, and they have wonderful, wonderful joy in events and things. They got it all. They got it all. So therefore, Rabim Amir Mi Yarein, if only who can go and show us the way to achieve what is perceived superficially to be Torah. So David responds. David says to these people, Toif, what's really good, what is really good in this world is Nisa Oleinu Or Ponecha Hashem. What really is good is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift up upon you his Or upon you. Nisa means to raise up upon you, or to present you with his Shechina. This is so to this David responds, David is mispalim. Nisa Oleinu Or Ponecha Hashem. Hashem, please raise up your Or Ponim upon us, I guess in order to protect us. In order to protect us from this evil influence, from the Yetzer Hara that draws people to follow in the ways of the wicked. And then David adds a personal note. I myself, you have to read the pasuk backwards. That me'es digonam v'sir hasham rabu. When I look at the world and I see the wicked succeed, and I see that their grain and their wine increase, their food and drink, which represents as a symbolic, as a metaphor for all the brachas of the world, when I see all this, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed one bit. Nosato simcha b'libi. I put joy in my heart, knowing. This little bit Rashi over here is very interesting. We're knowing that if this is what you give, that was the words that when you see the wicked succeed, David is saying something very profound. This should be for you inspiration, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the wicked such incredible blessing, they have no daigus, nothing to worry about. Peace and serenity and wealth, then if this is what Hashem gives them, alachas kama v'kama what the tzaddikim are going to receive at some point la'asa lava. So don't use, it's a very true what David here is saying. If you would go today to a Muslim yeshiva, no, they would say, they wouldn't say this. They would censor this. You know what they would say? They would say to you, these people are not really happy. You go and you see, let's say you take people that are mamish, wicked, wicked people. According to all standards, I know everyone has a different definition of what's called wicked, but let's say you have someone that's wicked according to all standards, and you look at them and they're living on a private island with servants and enjoying delicious food, and they have children, grandchildren, and everything is going their way. So if you go to a Musar yeshiva, what are they going to say to you? They're going to say, these people that you see in this private island who are living the life of luxury, they're not really happy. They're miserable, miserable people. You know who's happy? The person that's learning the Daf Gemara. That is what they will tell you in a Musar yeshiva. We're going to show you a video clip of lifestyles of the rich and famous. We'll call lifestyles of the wicked, who are rich and famous, Okay? Remember that television show years ago? The lifestyles of the people in Flatbush make those people look like paupers. They should have come to Flatbush and filmed some of those episodes. But let's make a new show called Lifestyles of the Wicked, of Wicked People Who Are Rich and Famous and Live a Life of Luxury and Celebration. So they'll show you a clip and they'll say, you see these people? They're not really happy. They're miserable, miserable people. They'll quote you statistics about how many people commit suicide, how many people are on drugs, how many are on medication, v'chulu v'chulu. You know who's really happy? The person who learns the Daf Gemara. They'll quote you statistics in Eretz Yisrael for people who are dirt poor, and they poll them, and they say they're very satisfied with their life. That is what they're going to say to you in a Musar Yeshiva. And it may be true, I don't know. I don't know. But that's clearly not what David says according to Rashi. David says, according to Rashi, the people who are living on the private islands and on yachts and are living a life of success are really happy. They're very happy. They have a wonderful, wonderful life. They enjoy every second of it. And you're miserable. You who are sitting in front of the Daf Gemara are miserable. Yet, you should look at this and you should say, Madach al v'chomer. Madach, these people who are wicked, according to every standard of the word, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them. Look how much blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them. Al achas kama v'chama. Us, who are honest, are ethical, do Hashem's will, how much more so will a time come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring much, much greater blessing. It's a whole different approach to look at the successful people. It's not, see, and this approach, I personally believe, is a much more powerful approach than what you typically hear in by the Baalei Musar. The Baalei Musar approach, you're putting people down. It's not a healthy thing. You see people that are very successful. They're not really successful. They're miserable. They have daigis. Every day they wake up, they have the bodyguards, and they're depressed and suicide. How do you know? Who's happy? The person who learns the Daf Gemara. The person who learns Daf Gemara and Carlo has big daigis. How is he gonna bring food home? How is he gonna feed his family? How is he gonna marry his children? He has big daigas. How do you know that the person learning in Kollel is happier than the people? How do you know? Maybe yes. I mean, there's no question. Sir, how do you know? David says, don't look down at the success of the wicked. They're successful. Chazal say, Rosha v'toiv loy. It means they have good, real toiv. But you should say, don't worry. Don't worry. Have emuna. Emuna in emes. Emuna in yiras shamayim. Emuna in yashrus. Emuna in ethics. If you are a good, solid person, you're a maimin in Hashem. If Hashem can give such blessing to these wicked people, alachas kama v'kama, just stay the course. Hashem will ultimately bring blessing to you, your family, in the right time, the right place. Okay, we have to finish up, and I don't want to really spend more than another day on this. We want to go on to the next mizbar. We're going to stop and take a short break. We'll do some chumash in a few moments. Mm-hmm.